This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.06 a.m. on Thursday, the 19th of May. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Kusu Chuang and Tan Chen Li. As we always do at the top of the morning, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
In the U.S., Dow down 3.6%, S&P 500 down 4%, NASDAQ down 4.7%. Very steep route here from two years ago. And Asian markets, Nikkei up 0.9%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai Composite down 0.3%, SDI up 0.7%, FBM KLCI up 0.4%.
So for analysis on what's moving markets, we speak to Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP Capital in Sydney. Shane, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Can we get some reactions from you on the route in the U.S. overnight? As Chen Li mentioned, it's the steepest route in, what, over 2 years? And this is on the back of disappointing earnings from U.S. retail giants Target and Lowe's. Why are investors so spooked, given that the issues of inflation and monetary policy tightening, they've been discussed for the past few months? It's kind of should be expected, no?
It certainly should. But the problem is that so far, anyway, company profits have been pretty strong. And so that's provided a bit of support for share markets. And you could argue we've just been through a profit reporting season, which has come in about 6 or 7% stronger than initially expected. So that's helped provide support for markets. And we also have this pattern where every so often this year we've seen a leg down, obviously the first leg back in February. Then you get a bit of a bounce. Then you have another leg down. Then a bit of a bounce. So it's never gone in a straight line. We did see those falls into last week. We saw a bit of a bounce from those lows. Maybe it was a dead cat bounce. I don't know, but it was quite a solid rebound. But to me, it didn't have the sort of makeup in the share market itself that you'd normally expect to see coming out of a major market bottom. So I think the market was vulnerable to more bad news. And obviously, those earnings downgrades from those companies provided that bad news. I don't think it's necessarily going to mean that earnings are going to fall from here. But I think this is a warning that we haven't yet seen the bottom in share markets.
Yeah, Shane, Jay Powell was in the news last week, I think, because he was at the Wall Street Journal event. He reiterated the fact that his rate normalization policy will continue untrammeled. What's a neutral Fed funds rate, in your opinion? How many more hikes do you think we have left?
Well, the Fed says it's 2.5%. So on that basis, you know, they're currently got the Fed funds rate between 0.75 and 1%. They sort of set it in a range. So on that basis, there's still 150 basis points of hikes at least to go. But the likelihood is, first thing to note is that no one knows where the neutral rate is for sure until we actually get there. And we have seen that neutral rate revised down significantly over the US. I think it was initially when they started reporting Fed expectations of the neutral rate. It started 10 years ago at around 4.5%. So it's come all the way down to 2.5%. It could well be on the way up again if we're moving into a world of higher inflation, higher wages growth, higher inflation expectations, then that neutral rate may well be higher. It could turn out to be 4% or something like that, or 4.5%. So I think it's a bit of a guessing game. I do think we'll probably get to the Fed's version of neutral by the end of the year, i.e. the 2.5% level. Thereafter, we may get a bit of a pause from the Fed because, don't forget, inflation doesn't go in a straight line either. It's been given a huge boost lately by the pandemic, which disrupted production, distortions to demand because everyone was buying goods, not services. And of course, the war in Ukraine made things worse. Some of those things will eventually settle down. It's taking longer than we would have hoped, but eventually those things will settle down. So you may get some relief on inflation, which means that the Fed doesn't have to raise rates as much as we go through next year. But I do think if we are moving into a world of higher inflation than we had prior to the pandemic, then ultimately that neutral rate will turn out to be more like 4 to 4.5%. But that won't necessarily stop the Fed pausing a little bit as we go through next year.
That's right, Shane. One more thing. Last night's stock market collapse was really driven by retailers and their dire outlooks, right? So the thing is, market commentators have been talking about the strength of the U.S. consumer for the last, you know, at least the strength of the U.S. economy driven by consumer strength. That seems to, you know, implode that theory. What do you think?
Well, it's being tested. And if you look at the US share market, again, at the very high level, S&P down 4%, NASDAQ was down 4.7%. So tech stocks are still highly vulnerable here. And another downgrade overnight was Cisco, which you hadn't mentioned, and that's because of disruptions to supply and other factors affecting demand. So tech stocks are still the worst affected from all of this. But you are right in the sense that the U.S. consumer has been a bulwark. It's been strong for the U.S. And there are now question marks about that. We have seen consumer sentiment fall quite sharply in the U.S. We're seeing higher interest rates put pressure on the U.S. housing market. Last night, we saw some decline in housing starts in the U.S. So those things suggest that the consumer is starting to come under some pressure. Now, the flip side, of course, is that a day or so ago, the retail sales figures out of the U.S. were very strong. Very solid. So for now, consumers are still spending, but obviously there's question marks about that. And the big issue at the moment impacting retailers is the rise in costs they're seeing. And that seemed to be the issue the Target cited. But yeah, that risk is if retail sales really start to get hit, or particularly consumer spending generally, then that could be a problem for the US going forward. Hopefully they've got enough of a buffer though, because when we went through the pandemic, Americans set aside a lot of saving that because they couldn't spend. And so they've got an excess amount of saving, which is roughly $2 trillion, which should provide a bit of a buffer. But yes, the consumer is the one to watch in the US. Hopefully it holds up. If not, then yes, the risk of recession in the US will go up significantly.
I'm quoting Mohammed El-Erian. He's saying that the market might have priced in inflation and interest rate risk, but we haven't quite priced in slowdown in growth. What do you think of that? Have you seen the bottom of all these routes yet?
I don't think we've seen the bottom yet. I think there's more downside. If you look at the S&P 500 to its low point, last night was back to the lows of last week. So it's down about 18% from its high at the start of the year, which is a fairly significant fall. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if we head down towards the 20% number or a bit more than that, because I think there's still more downside ahead of us. And obviously a big risk there would be a contraction in the US economy. And yes, I don't think that's factored in yet, partly because a lot of the indicators you normally look at for a recession aren't in place yet. I mean, one of the favorites of economists is the so-called yield curve. That's the gap between the long-term interest rate and the short-term interest rate, and it's yet to really invert. When long rates fall below short rates, then you start worrying about recession. Well, we're not yet at that point yet. So if we do get to that point, and this is the big question here, it's usually about 18 months before recession sort of settles in, which is probably late next year, which partly explains why the share market's not too worried about it at present, because it says, well, things at the moment are still okay. Earnings are still growing, although the pace is weakening. And if there is going to be a recession, it's still 18 months away, which is usually too far away for the share market to start to discount. Now, if alternatively things get a lot worse quicker and the recession gets pulled forward, the potential recession risk gets pulled forward, then I think, yes, that would result in a lot more downside in US shares. It wouldn't just take us down to the 20% number or a little bit more that I'm talking about. You could see another 20% beyond that. And so we end up with a 40% top to bottom fall. So that's the risk in all of this. My leaning at present is to the view that recession will be avoided. But yes, there's a lot of reason for debate and concern around that. That keeps the uncertainty fairly high at present.
And if we turn our attention from the U.S. to China, Shane, China, of course, is still in the midst of a severe pandemic situation. Assuming it manages to control the spread of the virus, it's looking to loosen some of its stricter movement restrictions by June. How much support do you think the economy is going to need from the PBOC and government until then?
It's probably going to need quite a lot, and even beyond then, because there'll be a natural bounce back if there's a reopening. But even before these COVID Omicron related lockdowns started, the Chinese economy was on the soft side and really needed stimulus. So I think they're going to need quite a lot of stimulus to get anywhere near the 5.5% growth target for this year. And as we all know, in Australia and Malaysia and so on, Omicron is a little bit different to the early version of coronavirus, the original one from Wuhan, in the sense that it's a lot more transmissible. So even though they may have got down to zero cases in Shanghai, it could quite easily come back. It's a lot harder to control via lockdowns than the original version of coronavirus was. Now, the good news, of course, and we also know this, that if you vaccinate a big chunk of your population with good quality vaccines, then people may get it, but they won't get seriously ill, or most won't get seriously ill, and you can continue with reopenings. And that's another big question mark about China, that their vaccines don't seem to be as effective as the ones that have been used in other parts of the world against Omicron, and they haven't vaccinated enough old people. So, yeah, there's ongoing risks around coronavirus in China that are probably different to the risks facing Malaysia and Australia and other countries in the world which have relied on different vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Shane, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP Capital, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the weeks and months ahead. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.